Broadcasting from Florida Tech, it's WFIT Melbourne, 89.5 FM. Good afternoon. This is Todd Kennedy, the host of Soundwaves, and we have a very special musical guest in our studio today. She is a musician, part of the Nashville indie music scene, an environmentalist, community activist, radio DJ. Did I leave anything out?
Piano teacher and music studio owner.
Of course, world-renowned Ariel Bowie. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I was doing some research before, and you have your hands in so many different projects and so many different things. It's wonderful.
It is. It's a lot to juggle, but I think that liberal arts degree helped me juggle a lot of different things at the same time, right?
Mom and Dad would be happy you said that. Now, you have just released your self-titled album, Ariel Bowie, and it's a collection of haunted experimental folk and country and blues and jazz and indie rock. I mean, it's a very eclectic mix that you have done. And you sent it to us the other day, and we really fell in love with it. But there's some different moods. There's some kind of quiet, dark moods, and then flat out rock and roll part too. So was that a conscious decision of yours to have these different textures in there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never been particularly interested in only listening to one type of music. So I don't know why my sound would only come across as having only one type of music. And, you know, being here in Brevard County reminds me of the diverse music scene that I grew up in. I started writing songs and playing shows. My first show was in Melbourne. And
you grew up in Brevard County, right?
I grew up in middle school and high school. I, you know, started writing and performing and doing the DIY house shows and weird American Legion halls with rock and roll bands. So I was pretty much one of the only female musicians in the scene. And then also being an acoustic singer-songwriter, singing like folk songs in the middle of a hardcore show or something like that. I've always appreciated diversity. And Andrea, the producer, Andrea Tokic, he really took to it really well. That was one of my concerns. How do we take all these very different songs and put them together cohesively into an album? And he just took to the challenge really well because he is also, you know, a person who appreciates many different types of music.
Right. And well, he has quite a resume as well as a producer. He produced the Alabama Shakes and the new Hooray for the Riff Raff album as well.
I don't believe it's the new Hooray one, for the Riff Raff, but older albums of hers. Yes. Yeah. So Alabama Shakes and Hooray for the Riff Raff, the new Coco Hames record out on Merge right now. And that's amazing. And she's also from Florida. She grew up in Winter Park, Florida, and her band, the Etts, kind of came out of Florida. All of the band members grew up here, and that's really neat, too, little connections here and there. But he's worked on so many amazing records, so even beyond the top name ones, I had been wanting to make an analog record. I wanted to record as live to tape as possible.
Did you actually use tape?
We used tape all the way. Tape. We recorded to tape, we mixed to tape, we mixed live, mastered it live straight from the tape to the lacquers, and I watched every single part of the process.
Wow, that is old school way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. So the records, the vinyl records that are out are completely 100% analog, which was something that I really wanted. So when I was walking around town and talking to different musicians in Nashville, every single one of them told me, you need to check out Andrea at the Bomb Shelter. Andrea at the Bomb Shelter, he's great.
That's the name of his recording studio?
Yes, and it's over in East Nashville, and it's a cute little pink house, and it's got a really homey vibe, but everybody who comes in and out of there are geniuses, and all of the work that comes out of there is just completely impeccable. So I am super honored that he wanted to work with me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hear a song from the new album.
All right, let's do a classic country song to get into the Nashville vibe. This one's called Moon Over Kentucky.
Oh, the moon over Kentucky, it brings me to my knees like the one I almost married to be Canadian. Oh, the moon over Kentucky is like a setting sun. For your wife I will never be, and a husband I have none. Where the grass is blue, I am too. While the moon over Kentucky has yellow. Oh, the moon, oh, Louisiana, it found me awful low. In its glow, nothing consoled me but a distant radio. In a moon over the bayou, I fell in love with you. Broken-hearted, Cajun sweetheart, come accord me in Nashville, where the grass is blue. I am too. While the moon over Kentucky has yellow belly. City's got me working to pay off my student loan. From the highway I can see you, oh, my most forgotten moon. Music City's got me craving, oh, that old Kentucky moon. Where the grass is blue, I am too. While the moon over Kentucky has yellow ready, where the grass is blue, I am too. While the moon
some country music comes to the studio here at WFIT. That's Ariel Bowie live in our studio. Did you play that song at punk rock shows?
Well, this song is a newer song than my punk rock era. It's harder to get really diverse bills in Nashville. It's such a saturated town. I feel like people usually go off into their genre cliques.
Yeah.
And that's kind of indicative of the industry, too. It's a lot of, like, clicks. And so I feel like it's been difficult to present in industry settings sometimes because you have to click the box. What genre of music is this? Is this Americana? Is this rock and roll? You know, and I have to choose what settings I want to present them in, too. And I'm also very thrilled, for example, to be playing the show tonight at the Dog and Bone. It's a Friday the 13th zombie prom, and it's a bunch of people who we've played shows together in rock and roll settings for a very long time, and it's not strange to us that my music is going to kind of stick out from the rest because it always has ever since we were kids, you know, and so we're going to have punk bands, we're going to have, you know, one of the bands, Boys Go to War, is reuniting, an indie rock band. They were... They were one of my favorites when I was 16, and they're going to be reuniting for this show, and it's just kind of a reunion show.
Yeah, but people have this idea about Nashville that it's just all country music, but a lot of heavyweight guys like Jack White lives in Nashville, Dan Auerbach lives in Nashville now.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Ben Swank, one of the co-owners of Third Man Records, he curated... The Nashville Public Library has a boombox local streaming system. So if you have a library card, you can access and download certain albums and artists that were curated by, for example, Ann Powers from NPR Music and Ben Swank from Third Man Records. So this self-titled album was chosen by Ben Swank from Third Man Records to be a part of the Nashville Public Library's boombox streaming system. But yes, there is a large diversity of music. There's a great all-ages record store venue, Fond Object, and that's one of my favorite places to go for shows. They do have more of the diverse bills, and there's a lot of psychedelic rock. There are bands like Pujol on Saddle Creek Records, and you know, so you don't just have the Margot Prices. But really, Third Man Records is putting out country records.
That's right, yeah. They put out the Margot Price album.
Margot Price album, mm-hmm. And they just signed, oh my gosh, his name is Josh Headley, and he's also a very straight down, you know, the way country music artist. So they're going in a very classic country music direction at the moment. But, of course, they also host things like the Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp showcases at Third Man Records. They're a big part of the community. So
now,
yeah.
You're involved in that project too, the Southern Girls. And this is teaching music to young people?
Yes, it's teaching music and also a lot of other empowering things at Rock Camp too. So there's Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp, which is for girls ages, I believe it's 11 to 17. And then there's Tennessee Teens Rock and Roll Camp, which is for girls and boys. And throughout the week, they learn how to play an instrument of their choice, whether it's guitar, bass, keys, or drums. And they form a band, and they write a song with their band throughout the week, and then they perform it at the end of the week in a showcase. And so the last few years, the showcase has been at the Third Man Records Blue Room, and I have taught the keys class. And it's a really wonderful opportunity for them not to only learn to collaborate with each other. Oh, I like this idea. Maybe could we change that idea and not take it personally, but also learn things like this is a safe space for all gender expressions, for example, or this is how you ask somebody what their preferred gender pronoun is. Oh, you don't know what that means? This is what this means. And we have different bands come in with women in them to perform for the girls and explain to them or answer their questions. And there are different workshops like how to build your own guitar pedal or how to screen print your own posters and T-shirts.
Important things you need to learn in a band.
Absolutely, yes. And really what it does, though, ultimately, is it empowers them. It empowers the youth to have a space and a voice. And in that, they are really powerful people in our – we're always talking about that the children are our future. And this is a program that not only is really great for the kids to grow up in, but it is a wonderful volunteer opportunity because I get to be surrounded by the coolest rock and rollers in my community. And then we become friends and start playing music with each other and playing shows with each other. So in the last couple of years, yes, I've gotten to play more shows in – more, I wouldn't necessarily say punk rock settings, but rock and roll settings, right, or branched out from the straightforward acoustic guitar, solo singer, songwriter rounds, that kind of setting, and into a more rock and roll setting, which is kind of the direction
I mean, that's what music can do, is bring people together, you know, as a community and work together and discover new things and, you know, learn new things. It's a wonderful feeling. So can you play us another song from your new album?
Yeah. Here's a little bit more of a rock and roll one. And I also have to credit Sarah Teasdale. She is a poet from the late 20s, early 30s. And this song utilizes a poem. This song is set to a poem by Sarah Teasdale called Appraisal.
Never think she loves him wholly or believe the love is blind. All his faults are locked securely in a closet of her mind. All his indecisions folded like old flags. That time has faded, limp and streaked with rain. And his cautiousness like garments frayed and thin with many a stain. Let them be, oh let them be, there is treasure to outweigh them. His proud will that sharply stirred rises surely as a tide. Senses strained who taught to sleep, gentleness to beast and bird. Humor flickering hushed and white as a moon on moving water. And a tenderness too deep to be gathered in a word. But never think she loves him wholly or believe her love is blind. All his faults are locked securely in a closet of her mind. All his indecisions folded like old flags. That time has faded, limp and streaked with rain. And his cautiousness like garments frayed and thin with many a stain. Let them be, oh let them be, oh let them be, oh let them be. Oh, let them be, oh, let them be. There is treasure to outweigh them.
Yeah, that's Ariel Bowie on WFIT 89.5 with the song Appraisal. And you can hear an electrified version of that song on her new self-titled album. And she's joined us in the studio. She has a gig tonight at the Dog and Bone in Cocoa Village. Are you going to play electric tonight?
Yes,
all rock
electric.
Out tonight, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Turn up the amps.
Yes.
So let's find out a little bit about you now. You grew up in Brevard County or went to school, elementary school and high school here, right?
Middle school and high school here in Brevard, yeah. I went to Delora Middle School, and then I went to Cocoa Beach High School. I was in the IB program there.
All right, but you just got a few shout-outs here. I heard him through the radio now of people listening through.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so many shout-outs, but it's been a really fun journey, seeing who's still around in the old hometown and stuff, and to see the old, like, I mean, even the things like, there are frogs everywhere here. There aren't frogs in Nashville. There's, like, lizards running around. But it's also really nice to be back where my musical roots are. You know, I went to school here, but my community wasn't my friends from school. My community here was the music scene here. So all of the shows that we were running and promoting and playing and performing with each other, all of the band practice time and hanging out. And being in Nashville, you know, this album is my first fully produced record and the first one that I'm promoting and trying to present professionally. But all of the DIY stuff I did before, the first three records, for example, they are almost forgotten or unknown because this is almost my debut album, right? Like everybody, a lot of artists will have their records that they've done on their own. And this one I've done on my own too. And then they have one that they present as their debut. So this one's been presented as my debut, but it's really nice to be back here where people are knowing and have known and know the old songs and my old style of playing guitar and, you know, how long I've been doing this.
But using those life experiences to make that album, I mean, it takes a lifetime.
To
put out that album. And here's your debut album, Ariel Bowie, and it's out on the usual sources now. Now, not only did you grow up in Brevard County, but you've lived a lot of different places in Mexico and Toronto and Mexico and Dallas.
Uh-huh. And upstate New York and the suburbs of California. And
was this after you left Brevard County?
It was before and after. Mm-hmm. So I've moved around a lot in my life. I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, and then my parents and I moved as a baby, when I was a baby, to the suburbs of Dallas. And then my mother is, she is diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, and so I moved with a lot of family members. I lived with a family in New York and California, and then for the longest time in Florida. Before I moved to Brevard, I was living in Central Florida in Lake Mary with my aunt and uncle there, and then I moved in with my dad here in Satellite Beach. We lived in Melbourne as well. So that was, yeah, once that was middle school and high school. I went back to Orlando, Winter Park, to go to Rollins College. After that, I got very obsessed with this off-grid, self-sustainable form of architecture called Earthship Biotecture. And I had seen, after getting that liberal arts degree, I felt like there were so many things that we talk about our issues. We talk about waste. We talk about nuclear energy and all these other forms of energy. We talk about water issues. And I found out about a form of architecture that addressed all of them. These buildings are made with natural and recycled materials using tires, cans, bottles, as well as, you know, normal conventional materials. They catch their own water, treat their own sewage, grow their own food, and passively heat and cool themselves, and also harvest their own energy using solar or wind power. So I learned about this and I said, well, I want to do more. And my partner at the time and I decided to go do an internship for 1 week in East Texas. I had moved to San Antonio, Texas after I graduated from college where my partner was living. And he and I and my brother, we all signed up for a week in East Texas. We started learning how to build earthships. They wanted us to stay. We stayed a second week. We stayed a third week. They hired my partner at the time. And then we all went to Baja, Mexico, in Todos Santos, Mexico. And we camped out there and worked on one there for about 3 weeks. And it was my newfound love. And so we all moved out to Taos, New Mexico. I was hired in the education facility and visitor center. So I worked part-time in an earthship that was really lovely. The office, all the internet, all the light bulbs, all the computers, the credit card machines were all on solar. It would be snowing outside and 70 degrees inside just because of passive heating and cooling through the thermal mass and solar gain and all of this stuff. And I fell in love with that. And I lived out there for 2 years off the grid. And I started to miss music, though. There wasn't a big music scene in Taos at all.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't enough for me. But Taos is a really spiritual place. And it really dawned on me in a major way that music was my calling, that I could do all kinds of activism, but that the only thing that I could contribute to the world that was uniquely my own, that no one else could do the way I could, was my art. And so I was going to go to Haiti and do disaster relief work there. But I went to,
you know, you're making
Burning
my head
Man.
Spin here because you have lived all over the place,
so
literally all over the world.
I was going to go live in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. but when I, at the last minute, when I decided that was not a wise choice while I was at Burning Man, I met somebody at Burning Man who was like, okay, I'm going to New Mexico and I have this RV and I don't know where to park it. And I was like, I have this land and I don't know where to live. So I ended up living in an RV on my little quarter acre of land in New Mexico, and winter was coming. And we were like, winter is coming. It's going to be negative 30 degrees at night in no time. Like, we need to figure out a plan. So he and I decided that we were going to, he was Canadian, we were going to elope so that I could become a Canadian musician and, you know, qualify for the social services they have there for artists and stuff. And we got to Toronto, and 2 weeks later, I was like, this is not a good idea.
Toronto in the wintertime?
Oh, yeah. No. So we, and the whole eloping with somebody that you don't really know and don't really love. And so my dad and stepmom were like, why don't you come move in with us in Dallas and get back on your feet? And in between Toronto and Dallas is Kentucky, where I helped a friend on his earthship. And then Nashville, where I ran into a friend from Melbourne. He went to Mel High. We were friends in high school. He had helped me with my first record, which was recorded partially in his bedrooms and partially at Studio 101 here in Melbourne. And we recorded my third record in a week, the Niche EP, songs I wrote in New Mexico. And we recorded it live to tape in his living room. And then I went on my way to Dallas, and I said, this is awful. And I went to Shreveport to visit my mom, who's mentally ill. And I was like, this is really hard and not a permanent decision. And I came back to Nashville. I crashed on my friend's couch with nothing but what I could fit in my car, including my guitar, this guitar. And from there, I started.
And now you have come full circle back to Melbourne here, right, sitting in the studio playing music that you always loved.
Yes.
That's an amazing story. I thought we'd just hear some highlights of a few places. I didn't know you went to that many places as well. So incredible. So again, using all those life experiences that you have encountered and putting, using those sounds to music. I mean, it's incredible. We love the new album. We're speaking with Ariel Bowie and her CD. No, I'm sorry, her vinyl record. No CDs, right?
No CDs. I mean, you know, self-funded, DIY, everything. I'm funding everything. And
but it is available on iTunes.
It is available on iTunes and Spotify and all of the Tidal and all of these things. I'm not even sure. YouTube and everywhere, as well as my website, too, directly, arielbowie.com, as well as Bandcamp, arielbowie.bandcamp.com. So
you
there's
got
all
it
these
all
places.
Covered. Yeah. You can get it everywhere. And she is performing tonight at the Dog and Bone in Cocoa Village, and she's going to be rocking out with several other bands as well. So we have time for one more song. Can you play us another one?
Great. So talking about Full Circle, this one's on my first record, but on my last record, too. I wrote it when I was probably like 18 or something, and that was a while ago now. It's called How It Should Be. Thank you so much for having me.
Time, you're a ghost. Tomorrow's just as close as here, as far as years. Time, you've got no corpse, no skeleton that begins. When I think of all the people I've become, all of a sudden they all are one. When I think of all the people that I, I will remember they are me. We all follow a line that we think of as time, but it's all in our mind. All your life has been set, infinite determinants determine it, but don't fret or forget to.
That's Ariel Bowie live in our studio today. It was a pleasure to meet you today. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
So her new CD, her new album, sorry, habit, you know, these DJs, you know, her new album is out now at arielbowie.com. And you can also find out more information about Ariel Bowie on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all the usual sources. And in between all your other worldly events, you also find time to work at community radio station Nashville, WXNA?
Yes, absolutely.
Where do you find the time? There's a big pause.
Yes. Well, I just try to do my best to, make sure to take care of myself if I can in between. I definitely am starting to feel hoarse towards the end of tour now. Lots of late nights and early mornings. But I try to, first of all, I know that I wouldn't feel like a complete human being if I couldn't do all the things that I loved. And with the radio show, I just...
Is it a music show?
It is a talk show. It's evolved into a talk show. It is called Hello Hooray on WXNA. It is on Mondays from 11 to noon Central Standard Time. And it has evolved into a show about arts and activism. So I bring on different guests that work at different nonprofits or are just artists. But I say just artists, but I feel like art is a form of activism itself. And there's a lot of overlap between the two as well. For example, with the rock camp. But I will be having, for example, last week I had Doris Wasserman, and she is the gallery director at the Harpeth Hall School for Girls, because Jessie Zazu of Those Darlings, she was a friend of mine, and she was battling cervical cancer for the last about 2 years and passed away September 12th. And they are doing an art show featuring her artwork that she did for her radiation oncologists and her parents' artwork as well. And that will be happening this Sunday in Nashville. They are using it as an opportunity to raise awareness about women's health issues. And they're going to be also forming a nonprofit in her memory so that people, artists and activists like Jessie, can continue to show up for racial justice using music and art. And so for me, having the platform of WXNA, which is a nonprofit, local, community radio station, all volunteer run, a platform to share that. And so, for example, when I get back on October 23rd, I will be having a nurse practitioner from Planned Parenthood to talk about women's health issues. And I'm sure a lot of other things that have come up since I booked her.
You'll have plenty to talk about.
We'll have plenty to talk about. So things like that. We have artists, art curators, nonprofits, and different things like that.
We've been learning about Ariel Bowie today live in our studio. Again, it's a pleasure to meet you. All the best with your music and all the other projects that you have done. This has been a treat, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
You're tuned to Soundwaves on WFIT 89.5 FM.